Chapter 8, The First Productivity Bond. The Pilot Concept. The first productivity bond should begin as a pilot, a small-scale issuance designed to test the instrument, demonstrate its viability, and build market confidence. It is not intended to transform a government's debt portfolio overnight. It is a proof of concept. The pilot would be issued by a stable sovereign, with credible institutions, a functioning financial market, and a reliable statistical agency. The issuance would represent only a small fraction of total government debt, limiting the consequences if the design needs to be adjusted. The pilot would establish the essential parameters. A clearly defined National Productivity Index, NPI. A transparent coupon formula. Defined floors and caps. An independent measurement process. A legal framework protecting investors. And clear rules governing revisions and payments. Starting small is deliberate. A new financial instrument should earn trust through evidence rather than promises. The Republic of Asteria. To demonstrate how the first issuance could work, consider the hypothetical Republic of Asteria. Asteria is a small, stable, advanced economy with GDP of $250 billion. Population of 5 million. Government debt equal to 60% of GDP. A credible central bank. A reliable statistical agency. And access to established capital markets. Asteria is not intended to represent a specific country. It is a model sovereign, with the institutional characteristics required for a productivity bond pilot. The purpose of the example is not to predict what any real government would do. It is to show how the instrument could operate in practice. The NPI for Asteria. The NPI measures how efficiently the economy converts its major productive inputs into output. For Asteria, NPI of T equals GDP divided by hours worked to the power of 0.40, times energy consumption to the power of 0.25, times material consumption to the power of 0.20, times capital stock to the power of 0.15. Where H of T is total hours worked, E of T is primary energy consumption, M of T is raw material consumption, and K of T is capital stock. The weights sum to 1.00 and remain fixed for the life of the bond. The methodology would be specified in the bond prospectus and could not be altered unilaterally by the government. The NPI would be calculated by an independent statistical agency, with the underlying methodology and data publicly available. For payment purposes, the annual NPI value would become final after a defined revision period. Subsequent statistical revisions would not retroactively change coupons already paid. This is important because investors need a measurement system that is predictable as well as accurate. The NPI does not require an entirely new statistical infrastructure. Its components are based on economic measures that governments already collect, including output, labor, energy, materials, and capital. The bond design. The hypothetical Asteria pilot could have the following structure. The issuer would be the Republic of Asteria. The principal would be $1 billion, with a maturity of 10 years. The inflation reference would be the Asteria Consumer Price Index. The real return floor would be 0%, and the real return cap would be 5%. Payments would be made annually. The principal would be repaid at maturity, subject to any specified adjustment mechanism. The currency would be Asteria dollars, and the credit would be sovereign. The illustrative coupon formula is C of T equals 1 plus pi of T, times 1 plus the minimum of the maximum of 0.7 times NPI growth, floored at 0% and capped at 5% minus 1. Where pi of t is inflation, NPI growth is the annual growth of the National Productivity Index, 0.7 is the investor participation rate, 0% is the real return floor, and 5% is the real return cap. The basic idea is straightforward. Investors receive inflation compensation plus a variable real return linked to productivity. The bond is denominated in local currency, avoiding exchange rate exposure for domestic investors. It would carry the sovereign's credit risk, just as conventional government debt does. In broad terms, it would resemble an inflation-linked bond, except that part of the return is linked to productivity rather than simply inflation. The issuance. The pilot could be issued through a competitive government bond auction. The government would announce the amount, maturity, coupon formula, and other terms. Investors would submit bids specifying the price and quantity they are willing to purchase. The market would determine the issue price. Initial investors would most likely be institutions familiar with sovereign debt and capable of evaluating a new instrument: pension funds, insurers, banks, asset managers, and sovereign investment funds. The objective of the first auction would not be to maximize the amount raised. It would be to establish a credible market price and demonstrate that investors are willing to hold the instrument. A successful pilot would therefore provide evidence on three questions. Can the NPI be measured reliably? Can the bond be priced and traded? Do investors accept the relationship between productivity and returns? Those answers matter more than the size of the first issuance. Pricing. Pricing would depend on expected productivity growth, inflation, sovereign credit risk, liquidity, and the uncertainty surrounding the variable coupon. Suppose investors expect inflation of 2% per year, NPI growth of 2% per year. Under the illustrative 0.7 participation rate, the expected real productivity component would be 0.7 times 2% equals 1.4%. The approximate expected nominal return would therefore be 2% plus 1.4% equals 3.4%. This is an illustration, not a guaranteed return. The actual market price would depend on investor expectations and the risk premium required for the new instrument. A novel bond might initially trade below par because investors demand compensation for uncertainty and limited liquidity. The market, rather than the government, would determine the appropriate price. That is important. The productivity bond should not depend on an administratively imposed valuation. It should be tested by the same market forces that price other sovereign securities. Performance across the cycle. The main advantage of the productivity bond becomes visible across different economic conditions. A strong year. Suppose NPI growth is 3%. The real productivity component would be 0.7 times 3% equals 2.1%. With 2% inflation, the approximate nominal return would be 4.1%. The government's payment is therefore higher during a period of strong productivity growth. A weak year. Suppose NPI growth is 0%. The real productivity component falls to 0%. With 2% inflation, the approximate nominal return becomes 2%. The government's variable financing burden therefore falls when productivity growth weakens. This creates the intended counter-cyclical relationship. Stronger productivity to higher investor returns to higher government payments. Weaker productivity to lower variable returns to lower government payments. The purpose is not to minimize payments every year. It is to make the government's financing obligations more closely aligned with economic performance. An important design problem. The pilot must also test an issue revealed by the simulation. A variable coupon does not automatically guarantee fiscal stability. In a strong year, higher productivity can produce a higher coupon. If the government finances those higher payments by issuing additional debt, the debt stock can increase. That larger debt stock can then generate higher future payments. The result can create a feedback loop. Higher productivity to higher coupon to more borrowing to larger debt stock to higher future debt service. If severe enough, this can undermine the counter-cyclical benefit of the instrument. This is why the pilot should test not only the coupon formula, but the complete debt architecture. Possible safeguards include a principal adjustment mechanism, limits on debt accumulation, or provisions that reduce outstanding principal during severe downturns. The exact mechanism would need to be tested through further modeling and legal analysis. The important point is that the productivity bond should not be judged solely by its coupon formula. Its entire balance sheet effect must be considered. What the pilot needs to prove. A successful pilot would establish evidence across several dimensions. Measurement. The NPI can be calculated consistently, transparently, and independently. Pricing. Investors can value the productivity-linked cash flows. Liquidity. The bond can develop a functioning secondary market. Fiscal performance. The variable coupon behaves as intended across different economic conditions. Risk management. Safeguards prevent the bond from creating unintended debt feedback loops. Investor demand. Institutional investors are willing to hold the instrument at market-determined prices. These tests are more important than simply declaring the first issuance a success. The lessons. The first productivity bond should therefore be treated as an experiment in financial architecture, not as a finished product. The pilot would show whether the NPI is robust enough to support a financial contract, whether investors accept productivity-linked returns, and whether the instrument genuinely improves the government's risk profile. It would also reveal what needs to change. That is the purpose of a pilot. A financial instrument designed to operate for decades should not be expected to be perfect on its first day. The next steps. If the pilot performs successfully, the government could expand the program gradually. Step 1. Increase issuance. More productivity bonds are issued as existing debt matures and investor demand develops. Step 2. Extend maturity. The government introduces longer maturities, potentially moving from 10-year bonds toward 20- and 30-year instruments. Step 3. Expand the investor base. International institutions, pension funds, insurers, asset managers, and eventually retail investors gain access to the market. Step 4. Develop the secondary market. Greater trading activity improves liquidity and price discovery. Step 5. Integrate the instrument into the debt portfolio. Productivity bonds become one component of a diversified sovereign financing strategy alongside conventional debt. The objective is not to replace conventional bonds immediately. It is to establish a credible alternative and allow the market to determine how large a role it should ultimately play. The first productivity bond is therefore not the transformation itself. It is the first piece of evidence that the transformation might work.